Thank you again, Mr. Golden. It is interesting what's happening with Life, Hope, and Truth Presents. I forgot to mention that we did look at it last night also. But if you do go to YouTube, you can see, as I mentioned, I believe, last week, how many people are watching. And in one day's time, 1,400 people had already watched the Life, Hope, and Truth Presents. We would hope that there would be 30, 40, 300,000 people watching these programs. As we know, one by Mr. Sandelin, I think on Easter it was, had 300,000 hits between Roku and YouTube. So pray that people will be aware of what we're doing and they will respond. The sermon I have today surrounds something that we have to do if we're going to be in the kingdom of God. We know that we have quite a bit. In fact, there was an article by Mr. Kalila out of New Zealand, is where he is, and he talked about God and the law and how much we should be obeying the law. In fact, there was a list of about 20 things that represents God with the law. And probably if you go to the book of Psalms, we know that almost every single verse or every other verse has the word law or obedience to God or righteousness in it. But there are some things that we absolutely have to do to inherit the kingdom of God. As he said, the focus in the Bible is about God's kingdom. And we know, in fact, I remember years ago when it was stated, this was probably in the 60s and the 70s, that the greatest news ever on the earth will be the return of Jesus Christ. If there would be newspapers that would be printing newspapers at that time, those would be the headlines. You know, Christ is going to return as lightning comes from east to west. And I don't know why I was on the subject of the amount of, I think, the how fast lightning travels and how fast noise travels. I think that's what I was looking up. So I thought, well, I know Christ is going to come as lightning. I wonder how long it's going to take for every eye to see him, because that's what the Bible says. Every eye is going to see him. And I think it said the light travels at 300,000 meters per second. Does that sound right? But the way I figured it out was, I see an engineer shaking her head, so it must be right. From what I saw, and of course this is circling the center of the earth, the equator, I figured it was going to take 2 minutes for Christ to be seen by everybody. That's pretty fast. He could go faster than that, but if it's like lightning, it's going to be very quick. I don't know how many times he's going to circle in that period of time, actually, but he wants to be slow enough so he can be seen. If it's just a flash, nobody will know that it's Jesus Christ. But going around the earth at that speed is also very quick. But we know we have to overcome to be in the kingdom of God. That's one of the words, the word, that is key to the scripture, the sermon that I have today. And that is, the overcomer will be in the kingdom of God. Revelation 2 and 3, I won't turn to those scriptures, but we know after the comments about the instruction from every church era or to every church era, it ends with saying, to him that overcomes, every single one. In Revelation 21 and verse 7, toward the end of the book of the Bible, we see one of the last things that is said, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So we will be inheritors of the kingdom of God. We will be spirit beings if we overcome, and we will be immortal. We will live forever if we overcome. That word is so important in the Bible. In the world, as I grew up in a Protestant church, it was being accepted just as I am. being accepted just as I am, without one plea. I don't even have to plea to be accepted because God is going to accept me. And yet, throughout the Bible, we learn that there are laws that we are to obey. I can't imagine, brethren, and we have to think about this in the future because there's going to be a great deceiver who comes along, but I can't imagine those who left the church not remembering Psalm 119 and the laws that are mentioned there and how we delight in God's law and how it gives us understanding and wisdom and how a young man is to live his life with success, and that is to obey the law of God. Now, we know God is love, and love is keeping the commandments. And so it's not a burden for us, as the world thinks, and we know the world is in a different realm when they think about this, in a different spiritual realm, but we do know that they think the law is a bondage. They think the law is a bondage. I'm sure all of us have something to overcome. If you think, as we move along here, of problems that you've had when you were baptized, I think probably if you think back when you were baptized, you probably thought, well, in fact, you just went through the process of repenting of your sins. And in that process, you were turning around, but there were some sins that you easily overcame before you were baptized. You show God by your fruits that you were repentant. There were some things that you did before you were baptized, but after baptism, you knew that there were some things you were still struggling with. I think I've told you the story that I said, and I remember exactly where I was when I said it. I said, I am never going to sin again. That was the day I was baptized, and I came up out of the water, and I knew I was not going to sin again. How many of you thought that? About me? No, about yourself. Yeah, there's some hands that went up. Well, it shows a good attitude. It doesn't mean if you didn't raise your hand that you didn't desire strongly to never sin. But that was the purpose in our life, was not to ever transgress God's law. And yet, there were sins that were easy to overcome. In fact, I do know some people who were smoking and they threw the packet of cigarettes away and never smoked again immediately. But I also know of people who struggled with it, overcame it, went back to it, and overcame it again. It was so difficult. There's some people where they just smell smoke, and it still, I don't know if it still does at this point, but at the time after overcoming smoking, it still smelled good to them. And you've probably talked to people. I don't think anyone here is struggling with smoking, but it is one of those things that's pretty tough. I've heard that actually overcoming smoking is more difficult than even not having a problem with drinking. That drinking was easier to overcome than smoking. But whatever the case, we want to take a look at 3 points today on overcoming. Before we go into those points, let me go to 1 Peter 4 and verse 18. 1 Peter 4 and verse 18 to show how difficult it is for all Christians from God's point of view to overcome. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, now, 1 Peter 4 verse 18, now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner be? If the righteous one is scarcely saved, we are considered righteous. We obey God's law. We practice righteousness. We don't practice sin. And the book of 1 John makes it clear that the word is practice. We are not practicing. We stumble from time to time. We slip up. But God says, if the righteous still, we're not practicing, the one is scarcely saved. Still, scarcely saved. And I don't know about you, but from time to time I think, you know, being a doorkeeper in the kingdom of God sounds like a pretty good job to me. I've heard of this, I don't know if it's true, but some people have said all the good positions in the kingdom of God have already been taken. That's fine with me, and I think, you know, Peter, Paul, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, maybe I just said that, but you think of the 12 disciples, we know that the gates of the city of Jerusalem will be named after them, so we realize that there's some very good positions, but they had to go through martyrdom. I think all but one was martyred, and that was John, who was not. But we know it's tough. And how many of you, I shouldn't even ask this, but I'm just wondering how many of us have wondered if we will even be in the kingdom. We've been so down at times because we still haven't, that one big word, overcome like we really want to. We dedicate ourselves, if we stumble, we dedicate ourselves never, ever to sin again. And yet there are times that come along and we lose our temper. We are very unkind to people. We're tremendously impatient from time to time. And we just hate that. So the 3 points I have is, and I'll let you know what they are. In fact, I won't. I'll just tell you what they are as we go. The first point is quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. I thought if I come up with something like that, it'd be easier to remember. Quick, slow, slow. Some problems are easier to solve. Some problems are easier to overcome. Recently, I've been, and we've been, cutting down this tree was a year or two ago. In the last 2 years, we had what they call a Russian elm in our backyard. Based on the rings, it was planted or it just seeded itself through the wind 25 years ago. I've counted 21 rings and up to 25 rings. If there was no water at all, if it didn't grow at all, I suppose that would be possible. There'd be no ring, but I think there's a ring for every year. There's just a smaller growth. But we took a chainsaw. I borrowed my son's chainsaw and used it to cut down the trees, because there were a bunch of them. There were about 7 or 8 in a clump. And one had fallen toward the house, so we decided not to take the chance of letting the others fall down on the house also. So that's where the chainsaw came in. Well, it was so hard to start that chainsaw. Really, really difficult. You would pull, you'd follow the instructions, and you would pull and pull and pull. This has happened to some of you with maybe lawnmower, I suppose. And then there are blowers, you know, for blowing your grass. You have to start it by pulling. And then it'd cut out, and then you'd go through the whole process again. It says, if it's warm, go back to number 2, number 5, and number 7, and start it again. And so you pull, and then sometimes it pulls back on you and jerks your arm. This has happened to me and probably happened to you also if you've used the chainsaw. And of recent date, I spent 15 minutes trying to start the thing. Now, that's a problem, and the problem had to be overcome. It wasn't a spiritual problem unless I started cussing, which I didn't. So, I mean, how do you cuss out a machine? It's not going to, you know, even... Did you know they can't hear you when you, if you cuss them out, they can't hear you at all. So they pay no attention. But it was difficult. And I thought, what in the world is wrong? Now, with quick, slow, slow, I'm leading to the point that some sins are easier to solve. And with some tools, it's easier to solve the problem. If an engine blows a piston, that's not very easy to solve. If an engine loses its transmission, that's not easy to solve. Well, it's easy to solve, but it's very costly. If it hails, hail damage on your house, and you have, you know, $20,000, $30,000 worth of damage, that is a problem, and maybe it's a little bit easier to solve. But you can get your house painted, and you can buy a couple new cars and that type of thing. Maybe that's a major problem, but at least you can do it, and it doesn't take too much time unless you're painting the house yourself. So what was the problem with the chainsaw? What was the problem? It was a problem because I couldn't get it started. By chance, it might start, and then when it quit, we started all over again. So I found out that it was a primer bulb. It says, pull the choke and then press this little piece of plastic 10 times. And I pressed the plastic 10 times, not realizing I should be looking to see if it was filling with gas. Because what happens is it brings gas up to the bulb. When you prime it like that, it sends, from what I understand, it sends to the carburetor after that. And I realized after, you know, examining it very closely that it was pushing too easily, it was cracked. It was a problem that was easy to solve. Once I recognized the problem, with any problem that we need to overcome, we have to recognize what the problem is. We have to recognize what the problem was. So I looked it up online to see what a Ryobi 3716 model primer bulb takes to fix, and there was no instruction there. I downloaded a manual, and there was no instruction on fixing the bulb. But there was on several other, and I'm bringing this out just to show you that sometimes it's easy to solve a problem. When I finally found how to do it, I found the knowledge on what to do. I was able to unscrew four screws, and after ordering new ones, of course, you have to order the new one, then within 20 hours, I had the problem fixed. Actually, within an hour, I had the problem fixed. And when you press it now, it brings gas up to it. There are some problems that we have. Let's go to James 3 and verse 5. Which solution would be quick, slow, slow? That would be the solution to this problem. Let's go to, again, James 3 and verse 5. Hebrews, James, and I think you know where I'm going at this time. James chapter 3 and verse 5. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Now, it can cause a lot of damage. It's a big problem, but it really can be solved easily if we really meditate on the solution, think about it, ask God to help us when we are quick and not slow. All of us, in fact, the Bible says that if we can control our tongue, we are perfect. But the solution is easy, and no doubt there have been people who lock into this and overcome a problem quite quickly. They overcome setting forests on fire, setting other people on fire with a quick, slow solution. You gain knowledge, just like I had to do with fixing a primer bulb. Gain knowledge of where to find it. Gain knowledge of how to do it. Figure out how to do it. Think about it. Because in all of that process, it takes a while. Sometimes you dream about it. Sometimes the solution is there when you wake up in the morning, like, how in the world am I going to solve this little problem? And it's an easy fix if you do it. So we come back here in James 1:19, And I say it's an easy fix if we know this is a problem. How many of us think our tongue has got us into problems? I'll raise both my hands and I'll put both my feet in the air if I could. Definitely. I have a problem from time to time with my tongue, but when I think about it, in fact, there's other scriptures that says that we take every thought, not just the tongue, not just speaking, but we take every thought and we filter it through God's word. But we have to be quick on something and slow on something else. And here's what it is. We can ask ourselves, if our tongue gets us in trouble, do we go back to this and recognize that this would solve most of the problem? Most of the problem. And here it is in verse 19. So then, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear. That's quick. Swift to hear. Am I always swift to hear? And the answer is no. Are you always swift to hear? And the answer is some of you might be swift to hear and then slow to speak. How many of us are slow to speak? Well, if we're slow to speak, some people think there's something wrong with us. But if we are swift to hear, did I get that right? Am I hearing properly? Do I know what the person is saying? Do I understand what she or he means by this? Because, you know, there's even these statements, well, I know you think you heard what I said, but what you heard was definitely not what I meant. You know, there's those sayings. And I think conversation is the one that gets us, communication is the one that gets us into trouble all the time. Wouldn't you say so? Is that your problem? Do we, any of us here, think that that's a problem that we need to overcome? I would say that all of us would be shaking our head, except Casey. She doesn't understand this yet. I pick on her. It's nice to have a baby in the audience. It's, you know, we need about 20 kids born. I think we had, how many did we have in Kansas City? Of course, we had a lot of young parents too. But anyway, whatever the case, we are adults and we can meditate on this. We can actually take time and think, am I swift to hear? It is a solution to communication. Now, someone might get upset with you by you asking them, now, are you saying, or did you mean dot, dot, dot? We even have to be careful with coming back with a question. We do, because we don't want to be offensive. Whatever the case, we want to make sure to hear. And then slow to speak. What is the end result of all of this, by the way? If we are quick to hear, slow to speak, what does it say comes after that? Probably it would be slow to anger. How many of us have anger problems? How many of us are impatient? With this solution, you cannot be impatient. A quick, slow solution is not a one where you're impatient. Come on, spit it out, man. Have you ever heard that? I was at a place where there was a question being asked by a crew of men, and they were stumbling around a little bit because they didn't quite, I guess they were intimidated by the person they were talking to, and they didn't get it just right. And finally, the guy said, spit it out, man. And I was standing there, and I thought, that's probably not the best thing to say to people, spit it out, because you're going to get spit all over them. You don't want to do that, but that's not what it means. I dwell on this because some solutions are easy, but you know, we don't follow the solution, do we? But if we want to be slow to anger, we have to start with swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, because God says that does not produce righteousness. So we all have to recognize that. If we don't think we have a problem with it, maybe we don't. But I would say all of us from time to time have a problem. This is an easy one. We have knowledge. We have the manual. We can see how to do it, and we can solve that problem. Some problems we can overcome. Now, if we don't dwell on it, and if we have never thought about, well, what do? I'm talking too fast, you know, I'm answering, I'm responding too fast. If we're not thinking that way, then at least this sermon helps us to be aware of how to solve an easy problem. In marriage, I think communication is one of the hardest, because I know being married for 58 years, I'm sorry. But communication between husband and wife, there's communication problems in speaking and in hearing both from time to time. And if we don't remember what we said in our marriage vow, that we're going to be long-suffering and forbearing, then we have to think back. That's what we said in our marriage vow. Okay, number two, this is called the tree and the stump. Let's call this one the tree and the stump. And you'll understand why in a few moments, the tree and the stump. Are there some problems that are harder for us to overcome? And the answer is yes, some problems can drag on for a long time. Now, maybe involving ourselves in being swift to hear would solve some of them. But we just know when we're baptized that God is going to give us probably a few years to overcome our problems. A few years. We have Matthew 17. Well, let me tell you a little story first. The same tree. Same tree, they're all cut down. That wasn't a problem when we started cutting the tree down because we were able to put the wood out. People hauled the wood away. We cut it in sections about like this. The tree fell pretty easily. We tied a rope to it and pulled it in the right direction so it wouldn't fall on the house when we cut it down. And that wasn't a big problem. But you know, we had that stump to deal with. And we thought, you know, if we can just drill holes in all of those stumps and put salt in those holes, then they will disappear within 4 years. Well, I started drilling holes, and then I realized I don't want to wait 4 years. We have stumps there. We thought, well, maybe we can make it look pretty and put flowers on top of those. Do you have deers in your yard? Deer in your yard? Flowers don't do really well. Mary is trying to figure out exactly what type of plant to put in the backyard that the deer won't eat. The instruction says that the deer won't eat them, but the deer haven't read the instructions. They still come and they eat the flowers. So what do? Well, we decided, you know, this is going to be pretty easy. I'm going to borrow that chainsaw. That's the one I had problems with. And did you know that when they build houses and there's trees there that are fairly young that have been planted about 6 years before they build the houses, that they actually take and shove all the rocks into that section, and as that tree grows, the rocks become part of the tree? So anyway, after ruining 5 chainsaws, all it takes is 1 spark. And you know that chainsaw is not good anymore. And our son has said, I've tried to sharpen those chainsaws and it just doesn't work very well. So 5 chainsaws are gone. And then I thought, well, how about a Sawzall? A Sawzall worked pretty good. And the Sawzall I had some 6-inch Sawzall blades. And then I bought a 12-inch Sawzall blade. The 6-inch did fine on the roots, because you had to get all of those roots. Now you're going to try to have a dead tree. I actually thought of fertilizer and diesel. Do you know what that does? You mix that, you put a fuse on it, it blows up and it pulls all the windows out of your house. It's a rancher in Texas did that. He was going to do that. He went in, after he lit the fuse and he had the mixture there on a tree, the roots, the stump that he wanted to get out of the ground, and he's drinking water out of glass, looking through his kitchen window, and the window disappears. It pulled it right out. So I didn't want to get a ticket, because that's what would happen if you blow all your windows out of your house. Maybe the entire house, the siding would come off, I don't know. We decided not to do that. So I'm still looking at getting this stump out. And so the Sawzall is going to work a little bit. Buy a 12-inch blade that's supposed to really do the job, and I hit the rock, and I just wore the cutting edge down like this. So I thought, well, that's not going to work. And then I decided, well, the best way to do this is to buy a pneumatic hammer. That's where you have a piston that is driving this chisel, going back about and forth about like this at so many reps per minute, and that is going to do the job. So you go, and now you have to get a compressor. My neighbor had the compressor. I bought the hammer, the pneumatic hammer, and we worked at that. That's right now where it is, trying to get that stump out of the ground. It is gradually dying, and we will win. Not the election. We will win against the stump, because the stump is a problem. Now, I'm using the stump as an example because there's some spiritual problems that are a stump. We know bitterness, for example, is rooted in the ground. And once you get that root in there, and there are roots on that tree, cutting the roots out was really a problem, as it is, and I think most of those, but eventually we'll have to drill the holes, put the salt in the wound of the stump to make sure that stump doesn't grow, because it will. Really hard to get rid of. But we were on our way getting the stump out. But you know, I've been in the church since 1963, both my wife and I since that period of time. And there are problems that I thought that I've overcome along the way, and God gives me another trial, and I realize I still have not overcome some problems. I don't think any of us would look at our life, I hope, and think that we're perfect. We all want to think, you know, in a short period of time now, I am going to have all my problems taken care of. But there are some things that are just more difficult. Let's go to Matthew 17. Jesus Christ had sent his disciples out, and they came back. As you know, they would tell them what had happened so often and how so many people had been healed. So in verse 14, you have of Matthew 17, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. This is a man coming to Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they've cast out demons before this time, but they could not hear him. And then Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. The problem was not with the father. The problem was not with the child. The problem was the disciples at this time. What had happened? Maybe they took it upon themselves to think that by their own closeness to God and not by the name of Jesus Christ, the demons had been cast out, because they had been cast out. But this time they couldn't do it. They somehow got proud, but definitely they lost faith in Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we cast it out? And Christ said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountains, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind of problem is a bigger one. It's not one that's easily taken care of. This kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. There are some situations that we're in, we must pray with fasting. Otherwise, it's going to work, not going to work. What is not going to work? We won't have enough faith because, this is what it says, because of your unbelief. Because of your lack of faith, they couldn't do it. They needed to fast and pray. So, in fact, we have a scripture in James where we see the same thing. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, by your faith, I won't turn to it at this time, but it says, by your faith, you will overcome. By your faith. So what do we need to do sometimes? The problem can be so great. It's not like putting a primer bulb in a chainsaw. It's like taking a stump out of the ground that is rooted, that is tough wood, that is full of rocks, and it just seems like you don't make progress too fast. We've all had those situations. We just don't make progress too fast. Now, have we ever come to the point where we realize we need to fast? And the answer is, that's what we have to do. From time to time, we have to fast. We come against a brick wall, and we realize, you know, I have to fast. And none of, I like to eat. We all like to eat. We don't enjoy fasting. But we need, probably all of us, and I don't know, I can't judge anyone there, but most of the time, we probably need to fast. Everyone needs to fast a little bit more, I would think, because some problems are like that stump. And if I had a show of hands, you'd say, I'm in one of those problems right now. I've had people come to me where, especially a man down in San Antonio, who couldn't get a job. And I ask him, well, have you tried fasting one day a week? Just take a day out. He was a young man, so it would not have hurt him to fast for a whole day. Doesn't hurt people to fast for 2 days, actually, but usually a day is normal. But I said, why don't you just try fasting? And he went home, and he started fasting once a week. And I think just in a couple weeks, he had a job, God opened the door. There's just something that happens. What is it that happens? According to Isaiah 58, I won't turn there either, but it says to break the yoke, to break the bond, actually, is the New King James, Isaiah 58 and verse 6, to break every bond. So if you have something you're bonded to that you would be enslaved to, that's what we do. We fast. So, what do we have now in the, and we could go to other scriptures here. 2 Peter 2 said that we're slaves to that which overcomes us. Anything that overcomes us that we can't overcome becomes, we are the slave to it. In other words, if we go back to something or cannot overcome whatever it is, we continue, we're bonded to it. And we have to fast because it builds our faith. Okay, the third point that I have here, the second was the tree and the stump. The third one is I need everything. I need everything. Revelation 3 and verse 17. Revelation 3 and verse 17. This is the last church in Revelation 3 that is mentioned, Revelation chapter 3, and we're all familiar with this, and verse 17. To the Laodicean church, And it says in verse 16, you are lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot. Now, just to explain, I've heard some people say, well, lukewarm is bad and cold is bad. Well, based on the churches in that area, you had cold therapeutic water, and you had also hot therapeutic water. You had both near Laodicea, where you could go, and cold water is good, and hot water is good, but lukewarm is not good. You like a cold ice cup of coffee, or you like a hot cup of coffee? You probably don't like a lukewarm cup of coffee, unless you have a lot of honey in it, cream in it, and cinnamon in it, right? So you have then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and I'm wealthy and I have need of nothing. This is where I come up with the third point. I have need of nothing, or I have need of everything? Do I have need of nothing, or do I have need of everything? When we look at our life, brethren, do we see any problems that we need to ever overcome? Do we recognize the spiritual problems that we have that we really need to work on? Because trying to get over it easily, or overcome it easily, or trying to overcome it in a difficult way, there's no such thing if we don't even recognize our problem. We have to recognize our problem. The Laodiceans didn't. In fact, it goes on to say that you are, and you can see here what it says, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And they did not even know it. Meaning, we can be poor, blind, miserable, naked, and not even know we are. That's they just took a look at themselves, and they thought they're rich and wealthy, and we can be that way spiritually, and we shouldn't be. If we think we stand, we're going to fall. That's another scripture we could throw in here. If we think we stand, we will fall. Have you ever said, well, if I were in their condition, I wouldn't act that way? And God hears that, and then guess what he does? Hey, Christ, let's put them in that position. Let's see what they do. Let's also pull a little of our spirit. Let's don't give them the strength, because they really think they've got it on their own, I guess. So let's take the spirit away from them, just temporarily, and give them that problem, and guess what's going to happen? Uh-oh, I can do nothing of myself. I need everything, all the help that God can give me. And that's the way that we need to think. So what if we go through life and we just don't recognize our problems? What if we're not working on our problems? What if we are high-minded? What if we are doing what we shouldn't be doing, according to James 4:11, and we criticize? Let's go to that scripture, because we can kind of tell whether we think we're pretty good based on the way we talk about other people. Get to it here, James chapter 4 and verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother. How many of us are doing that? That's a Laodicean attitude, brethren. Do we all do it from time to time? Yes, we can fall. We can do that. Do we have a habit of judging others, talking about others, looking down on others? We can do that if we're not careful. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law. We are a Laodicean. We're not obeying like we should. So that's one of the messages that we should give ourselves if we are criticizing our brother. And when we slip, we should recognize it because we are all prone to do it. Prone means laying on our stomach. That's a position in shooting, prone. It's the easiest position to shoot from, prone. Easiest position to get 100%. And if we're prone to criticize, that's one of the easiest things to do. Just kind of comes naturally if we're not careful. And all of us have failed in that from time to time. We've got to be careful. So what we have then is a tribulation that comes. What happens if we don't repent of being led us in? Revelation 3, verses 18 and 19. Revelation 3, verses 18 and 19. I should have kept my finger in there, but let's go back to it. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. This is what happens. If we are led astray in attitude, then God will chasten us personally, more so than he would normally, because that is one of the sins that being Laodicean will put us in the lake of fire if we don't repent. Laodiceans will not be in the lake of fire. Laodiceans will be tried so they won't be in the lake of fire. They will be refined. We all will go through a refining process. So I hope we realize that we need to be zealous and repent all the time. We need to be taking a look at ourselves. We need to overcome our problems. We need to understand that some problems are easier than others, but we still have to apply God's word to overcome them. Some problems are more difficult and will require a period of time, fasting and prayer, to overcome them. And then there are some problems we have, meaning we don't think we have a problem. And that's probably the worst problem, if we don't think we have a problem. We realize with this last scripture here, 1 John 4 and verse 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. How can we overcome? Well, the answer is because Christ who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, greater than Satan. When Jesus Christ is in us and we pray for the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ, we want his mind and his attitude, then we can overcome, but only then. So on a daily basis, brethren, let's realize we have to overcome. If Christ is in us and we pray that he will be on a daily basis, then we will overcome. May take some time, maybe easy at times, maybe harder at times, but eventually we will overcome and inherit the kingdom of God.